Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you on this wonderful day as we continue our Lenten journey together, this season where we walk together in contemplation, in confession, in meditation on all of God's goodness and all of our sinfulness. I'm so glad that you are with us here today, with us whether you're here in church or you're watching us online. We're coming closer and closer to the 10,000 views, and so this morning I just want to say, hi, Tommy. I hope you and Mom and Dad are all doing well. That's just one family I know who watches quite often. So thanks for being here with us, Tommy. Our pathway through Lent continues with midweek Lenten services on Wednesday evenings. The services begin at 7 p.m. The service itself includes some hymns and prayers. And this year we're talking about the symbols of the disciples that have been painted on this archway for years. We talked about Andrew and we talked about Peter. This week we're going to be talking about James, or James the Greater, and his brother John. So join us as we continue this Lenten path together. Next Sunday is the cruel and vile day of the year where we're supposed to spring our clocks forward an hour and we all lose sleep. I'm just calling this to your attention so that you will remember. Next week begins daylight savings time, and as much as it's not my favorite time of the year, I love being with you, so I will be here for service, daylight savings time or not. So join us next week as we continue our Lenten journey. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning so we can add our voices to those of God's children around the world in giving prayer and praise and thanksgiving. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Children of God. Let us rise and sing together.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To Him we will sing. are the children, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we are the sons and daughters of our God. Children of God, sing your song and rejoice for the love that He has given us all. Oh, children of God, by the blood of His Son, we have been redeemed and we can recall.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson this second Sunday in Lent comes from the 12th chapter of Genesis, beginning with the first verse. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the 4th chapter of Romans, beginning with the first verse. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations," in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit, spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might save through him. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night so they could speak together. Now, I'm sure that that's how it happened, but there is also so much metaphorical traction that comes just from that statement. Things were dark for Nicodemus when he came to Jesus. He knew that there was something different about Jesus, something amazing and special and even divine. Nicodemus had pursued a right relationship with God his entire life. He was a learned man among the Pharisees. He knew what the Pharisees taught, and he strove every day to live his life in a way that would make God's righteousness real. Things were shadowed and confusing for Nicodemus when he came to Jesus. The Pharisees' way of righteousness and their kind of relationship with God is all about following the mitzvot, the instructions, precepts, ordinances, statutes, and commandments that were found by the Pharisees in the Torah. Jesus has another way. Jesus does things on Sabbath that a Pharisee would never do. In the story just before this one in John's Gospel, Jesus had just finished stopping the sacrifices and the money changing in the temple, a thing which a Pharisee would also never do, and yet Jesus always has true justifications, and he has a holiness about him that Nicodemus can only admire. Nicodemus was in the dark about all that. Nicodemus also came at night so that his Pharisee friends might not see him or catch him talking to Jesus. Nicodemus was in the dark, and so he came to the light. He may not have realized that fully, but Nicodemus had come to the light. Jesus and Nicodemus then have an amazing conversation. Nicodemus is curious as to how Jesus is in such an amazing connection to God without that mitzvot checklist in front of him. He knows that Jesus can only do the things that he is doing through a relationship with God, and Nicodemus wants that. And so when Jesus answers, he listens. But Jesus' answer is curious, because Jesus' answer is about birth. How many of you had anything to do at all with your birth? Me either. None of us did. Not really. We were there, of course. We were a participant, but we had no choice as to the where or the when or even the to whom. Birth is a gift. Life is a gift. It's unexpected for the one being born, hence all the crying. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that to be part of the kingdom of God, to have that relationship with God that Nicodemus is looking for, one must be born anothen. That's the Greek word in John's Gospel. And it's the key to what Jesus is saying today. Now, anothen can mean again, but it can also mean from above. So if you were to ask Jesus which he meant, be born again or be born from above, Jesus' good Lutheran answer would have been yes. Because for Jesus, it is both. We must be born again from above. Nicodemus hears again and starts with images of returning to your mother's womb. Jesus encourages him and speaks about being born from above, born of water and spirit, born at God's behest. for Jesus. This new birth is nothing that we do, like our own first birth. Instead, this birth is what God does to us and for us and with us and all around us. For Jesus, this relationship with God, this participating in the kingdom, this living a new birth again from above, is about laying your life before God in faith and then living for God and neighbor. That comes less from mitzvot rules as it does from the love that God shows us and gives to us all. The good news that comes from Jesus comes when we have set aside our illusions that we are important to our salvation. Not until we are unburdened of any thoughts that we deserve or have earned God's love can we be truly born again from above. Jesus is confronting Nicodemus and all of us with our limits so that we can see that faith in God begins where our faith in ourself ends, when we give up our endless struggle to think well of ourselves. The icing on the cake for Jesus' proclamation in today's gospel, in his answering of Nicodemus's conundrum, is John 3:16 and 17. Martin Luther spoke of these verses as the entire gospel in miniature. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the darkness of believing that what he did made all the difference. Like the rest of the Pharisees and even many of us today, Nicodemus knew that he had to act in proven holy ways in order for God to see him, in order for God to know him, in order for God to love him. Nicodemus knew that his salvation, that the salvation of God's people Israel, depended on how he lived and acted. And Jesus shows him something different. Jesus shows him that salvation and redemption, Jesus shows him that a right relationship with God comes as a gift of grace, as a new birth in God's love, filled with the Spirit and leading us to live lives of love. God so loves the world. This is how, this is why, this is the good news. It's the gospel that I get to proclaim. God loves the world, including all of us, all of you. God doesn't just love the ones who follow the 613 rules all the time, especially Numbers 237 to 315. God doesn't just love Pharisees or Lutherans or bald guys or young kids in Sunday school or catechism or oldish folks or Buckeye fans. God loves the world, all of it, every part of it. And God loves the world so much that he sent Jesus as our Savior. Jesus came as our Redeemer. Jesus stands as our friend, our brother, our Lord. Through Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son, through his life and teachings, his suffering and death, and his resurrection, we have access to this birth again from above that Jesus is talking about today. The font stands before us as a prime means for the grace of God to enter into our lives, for us to be born again from above. This table, our altar, stands before us as a prime means of the grace of God to enter into our lives, as the real and true presence of Jesus comes in and with and under the bread and wine here, giving to us gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. God so loves the world that faith is sufficient, and those who believe in Jesus have eternal life. Now, in John's gospel, the word believe has all of the weight of faithfulness. It's not just believing that Jesus lived. It is believing in Jesus, his presence and his teaching, his living and his dying for us. It is trusting in his promises and then living a life following Jesus. When we do, our lives are truly in touch with the Eternal One, and God is with us. Another amazing piece of this gospel in miniature is verse 17, because it is not to condemn that Jesus comes. The Pharisees thought that it was all about condemnation. For a long, long time, Martin Luther thought that it was all about condemnation. To many Christians today, they still believe it is about condemnation, especially condemnation of them, whoever them is. Jesus coming is about salvation. We are saved from temptation. We are saved from our sinfulness and selfishness. We are saved from the struggles with the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. And this is a gift of God that just keeps on giving. As we live our lives in this Lenten season, struggling sometimes in the shadows and darkness of confusion, false beliefs, and even despair, allow the love of God to fill you this day and all your day. Know that Jesus stands here, ready to help you to be born again from above, to bestow on you the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus is here, ready to walk beside you into your lives so that love will flow, so that the kingdom comes, so that God's dream is real. You may ask why. You may ask how. But the answer is always, for God so loved the world. Amen. Counting on that love of God, let us continue our Lenten confession. Please rise. Holy God, have mercy on me in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. O purify me, then shall I be clean. O wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if while we were enemy, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. O God, you so love your church. Raise up leaders who care for your people. Bless lay theologians, seminary and college professors, and all who are called to the ministry of teaching, that they form and inspire us for the work of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you so love your creation. Breathe new life into our planetary home. Guide the work of researchers and scientists who love your earth and who inspire us to care for the natural world. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you so love the world. Uphold leaders who resist tyranny and oppression. Strengthen organizations that promote peace and harmony. Direct their work to alleviate human suffering and to address its root causes. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you so love your people. Draw near to all who live with mental illness, depression, or addiction, and accompany them in healing and recovery. Hear the cries of those who look to you in their distress. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing and grace, there are so many who need your presence and power. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness and your health. We pray for Sharon, Randy, Phyllis, Don, Stephanie, Cody, Judith, Ashley, Rhonda, Gary and Judy, Jim. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you so love your children. Bless the young in our midst and delight us with their joy, wonder, and curiosity. Revive our ministries with children and youth and equip us all for faithful discipleship. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you love your saints. As our ancestors in the faith have been a blessing to us, so inspire us by their example of holy living to be a blessing to those who come after us. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of grace and glory go with you as you follow this Lenten path, wherever it takes you and to whomever it takes you. May you go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Your name.